The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trump, and I'm your host, Katie Trump. Well, damn, that Thursday night football game was pretty crazy last night. It was back and forth pretty much from the jump between the Tampa Bay Bucks and the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, geez, these guys, it kind of felt like once the Buccaneers were starting to pull away at some point in the fourth quarter, but then, their running back Irving, he fumbled, and they were kind of in the red zone area, but also if he just got a first down, they pretty much could have just taken the clock down and probably would have walked away with the win. But then instead, they fumbled the ball. Nothing happens. You know, the Falcons actually give the ball right back. Kirk Cousins throws an interception. And then when they're trying to run the clock out again, they get called for a holding penalty, actually pushes them out of field goal range. Then they're not able to really – they're able to – to get Atlanta to spend their timeouts, but they're not able to stay in field goal range, and they're pretty far back, so they end up having to punt the ball, and then Kirk Cousins does what Kirk Cousins do, and he just drove right down the freaking field. The Falcons were able to tie the game up. It went into overtime, and then just on the first drive, the Falcons came right out the gate, and they scored a touchdown and walked off with the 36-30 win. But, I mean, man, that was a fun game, in my opinion. I mean, just going back and forth that way. And it just really looked like the Buccaneers had all control, and then boom, game changed right on a dime with like 6 minutes left to go, too. It kind of looked like the game was done, and Atlanta turned that narrative around. Kirk Cousins had an insane game, went 42 for 58 with 509 yards passing and four touchdowns, including the game winner in overtime. But he had a fantastic game. I mean, definitely the best game he's had of the season for sure, but he looked great. I mean, there were some passes he was making where it was just like, boom, on point. And this Tampa Bay Bucks defense isn't terrible either. So, he was tearing them apart last night. But it was a crazy, crazy win from the Atlanta Falcons there. But the Tampa Bay Bucks definitely had their hearts ripped out because they had this game. They should be walking away with the win. And instead, the Atlanta Falcons walk away with the win. So let's move on to the rest of Week 5. And what we have coming up this weekend. Also of note, my head-to-head matchup with the homie Simon Ruvalcaba is not going too well for him. Usually I do not have this type of a lead until it's the end of the season, like the last like 3 weeks. And Simon just has to start picking random-ass picks just to hopefully catch up to me. But damn, dude is getting his ass beat. By the way, Simon works in a sports book, y'all, and I feel like he would have an edge up on me on this, but he does not, at least this season for sure. I went 10-6 last week, and that brought my season total up to 37-27, and Simon went 6-10, and that brought his season total up to 26-38. So he's got some work to do for the rest of the season. Now, lucky for him, it's only week 5, so there is plenty of time for him to catch up, but he's got a long hill to climb. But anyways, let's get to the Sunday games. Well, actually, and by the way, we both start the weekend off bad. We both start the weekend off 0-1 because we both had Tampa last night. I had Tampa winning 28-17. He had Tampa winning 28-24. So we both start the weekend off 0-1. So let's get to Sunday's games, and we start off in jolly old London. Starting off the Europe series here, I think it's London this week and then Germany next week, or 2 weeks of London. I know it's we get a couple London games, we get the Germany game. So here we are with the first of the London series. We have the New York Jets at the Minnesota Vikings. Right now the Vikings are a 2.5-point favorite. The Jets are coming off of just that terrible loss last week, and Minnesota's just been flying high. So it's gonna be interesting what happens here. Now, me personally, usually, the Jets are that type of team where they come off of a loss and get a win. But also, they're over in London. And these London games tend to be weird because it's a different atmosphere. It's a different field. Sometimes the turf, it kind of messes with teams. Some of these games tend to be slow starting, and lots of times the team you don't expect to win actually wins. And that's kind of what I think is going to happen here. First of all, like I said, I think the Jets are coming off of a bad loss and they're going to want to have something to prove here. And Aaron Rodgers is he's seen the Minnesota Vikings quite a few times in his career. So it's not anything new for him to see the Minnesota Vikings. And I just kind of feel like the Vikings are flying high right now. And while I think they are a good team, I just kind of feel like it's time for a loss at this point for them. I think the New York Jets defense is actually good enough to get at Sam Darnold and kind of give him happy feet, if you will, and throw some interceptions or cause a few turnovers in some way, shape, or form. And Aaron Rodgers usually does play pretty well over in London. He's had a few career games over in London, and he tends to play pretty well. So I just kind of look at this game as being just one of those where the Vikings, it's about time they lose, and the Jets are just coming off of a bad loss. I do think it's going to be a close game for sure, but I've got the Jets winning 24-23, and Simon has the Vikings winning 30-17. Then we have the Carolina Panthers at the Chicago Bears. Right now, the Bears are a 4.5-point favorite. I feel like these are equal teams right here. Not very good, but they're capable of getting certain things done. With Chicago, their defense looks really good, and they are causing a lot of turnovers and causing a lot of sacks and causing a lot of problems for opposing offenses. Carolina, on the other hand, has looked a lot better since Andy Dalton has taken over at the starting quarterback role, not putting them in any type of like playoff talk, if you will, but they definitely are a team, I feel like, that they're going to get some random wins where you're like, how did that happen? So this game, I think, is actually going to be a pretty close game because they're both very similar teams. But since Chicago's at home, that's what I'm leaning towards. So I've got the Bears winning 21-19. And Simon is going with his Carolina Panthers, as he should, because to me, this is a toss-up game, really. So he's going with his Carolina Panthers 23-20. Then we have the Baltimore Ravens at the Cincinnati Bengals. Right now, the Ravens are a 2.5-point favorite. Joe Burrow actually plays the Ravens very well. But with that being said, the Ravens look like they are finally gelling. They're finally working well together offensively, defensively, special teams. They're really an all-around team. And these last couple of games of theirs, they've really got going, especially Derrick Henry. And I think the Bengals are going to struggle with this because the Bengals have had a very struggle bus type season. Offensively, they've found no rhythm. Their offensive line can't block shit. And their defense has a lot of holes in it. So there's just many questions with this Bengals team. Whereas the Ravens, like I said, they are starting to get better with each and every week. And I actually think the Baltimore Ravens are going to dominate this one. And I think it's going to be mostly because of the defense. I think the defense is going to get at Joe Burrow and really cause some problems with that offensive line. I think that he's just going to have a bad day. I kind of see him throwing a couple of interceptions, being on his ass all day, running for his life. And then the Ravens defense, maybe even scoring a touchdown. And then, of course, setting the offense up in good field position. And I just look at the Ravens as riding Derrick Henry as usual. And I've got the Ravens winning big, 41-28. Simon also has the Ravens winning this one 27-20. Then we have the Miami Dolphins at the New England Patriots. Right now, the Dolphins are a 1.5-point favorite. Both of these teams, I feel like, are also in the same position. Miami's on like their third-string quarterback right now. And New England is just kind of staying afloat. I don't really know what we're getting from New England, but I don't know what we're getting from Miami, especially since Tua's gone down. Their offense has been anemic. They cannot get anything going. And their defense was always questionable to begin with. And so I look at this one as just being a battle between two division rivals. They know each other well, and I think it's going to be kind of a struggle really for either team to get going. But since New England's at home, that's the way I'm leaning. Also, I just think overall, New England's playing pretty decent football. Even though they're losing a lot, they're still kind of, they're fighting. Whereas the Dolphins, they just look like shit. So I've got the New England Patriots winning this one 20-13. And Simon also has the New England Patriots winning this one 20-13. Then we have the Cleveland Browns at the Washington Commanders. Right now, the Commanders are a 3.5-point favorite. And to me, Cleveland is one of the worst teams in the league. There is really nothing good to be said about this team. They don't have any bright spot. Even Myles Garrett has really done nothing this year. And usually, if anything, even in the terrible years, he's going off, but even he's not really doing anything this year. Whereas Washington's actually flying pretty high right now. They're 3-1. Daniels is starting off his rookie year great. Who knows if it's going to last, but I think it's going to last through this week just because Cleveland is terrible. There is really nothing good to say about Cleveland, whereas Washington's offense looks pretty good. Defense, lots of questions and lots of areas they could improve on. And you could say the same thing with the offense, but so far offensively, they're in sync right now. And so I've got Washington just smashing Cleveland 35-17. Simon also has Washington winning 27-17. Then we have the Indianapolis Colts at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right now, the Jaguars are a 2.5-point favorite. Both of these teams playing pretty terrible. Indianapolis a little bit better, but honestly, I think these are both pretty awful teams. There's not going to be any Jonathan Taylor playing in this game for the Colts, so that's going to be a big deal. But also, the Jaguars are hungry. They do not have a win yet. They've looked pretty embarrassing throughout the majority of the season, and I feel like it is time for them to get a win. And like I said, this is a division battle against a team that's about on the same playing field as them, so pretty terrible team as well. So I think it's going to be a battle just generally, but I've got the Jaguars actually getting a win 28-21. And Simon also has the Jaguars winning 20-10. Then we have the Buffalo Bills at the Houston Texans. Right now, the Texans are a 1.5-point favorite. I feel like this is going to be a pretty damn good game. We've got two solid quarterbacks with Josh Allen, who's having probably the best year of his career so far. And then C.J. Stroud, even though the Texans' offense is not clicking on all cylinders like it was last year, they still have their moments. And to me, I feel like they're just going to get better with each and every week. But, you know, the Texans are at home, and also Buffalo relies too much on Josh Allen, and I think that's going to show once again in this game. I think they're going to actually do a lot better than they did against the Ravens last week, but I think they're going to fall short in this one just because I feel like Houston's defense, one of the best in the league, I think they're going to have Josh Allen running for his life, and I just feel like it's going to be too much on his shoulders, and nobody else is going to step it up in any way. And then I just kind of look at Houston's offense. I feel like they'll find the little holes in the Buffalo defense. And I think they're also at home. It gives them a little bit of an edge. So I've got the Houston Texans winning a close one, 24-21. And Simon also has Houston winning this one, 33-28. Then in the afternoon games, we have the Las Vegas Raiders at the Denver Broncos. Right now, the Broncos are a 2.5-point favorite. The Raiders, it's typical Raiders. More drama, more players unhappy. Davante Adams is going to get traded any day now, it sounds like. It just depends on where he ends up going and what kind of deal they end up getting. But it's basically a typical Raiders season, man. They're in disarray. They don't know what the hell's going on. And Denver, they're in complete rebuild mode, but they've managed to get on a little bit of a winning streak here. And, you know, I look at Denver as a much more solid team than the Raiders. The Raiders just have really not anything going on. They're just a really bad team. They don't have any standouts besides Max Crosby. I used to think Davante Adams was one of them, but obviously that relationship is done and he's going somewhere else. So we'll see what they're able to get for him. They should obviously get something pretty decent in return for him. But with that being said, that does not help them out this week. I feel like Denver just playing better football right now. They seem to be playing a bit more consistent. They have a lot of work to do, but I feel like both of these teams are terrible. They're both division rivals. So I've got Denver winning a close one, 21-18. And Simon has the Raiders winning this one, 28-25. Then we have the Arizona Cardinals at the San Francisco 49ers. Right now, the Niners are a 7.5-point favorite. Arizona's been just very up and down. They're either really bad or they just are really good. They don't score any points or they blow you out of the water. That is how they are this season. And that's how they've played against the 49ers over the last couple of seasons as well. Even though the Niners are just overcoming a bunch of injuries, they still are fully capable of scoring a bunch of points and really putting together a solid game, whereas Arizona has shown absolutely nothing at this point. So I have the Niners winning over the Cardinals 30-20. Simon also has the Niners winning 26-17. Then we have the Green Bay Packers at the Los Angeles Rams. Right now the Packers are a 3.5-point favorite. I feel like, you know, now that they have Jordan Love back, he started off last week's game pretty terrible with a bunch of interceptions, but he really started to get it going towards the end of the game, and I feel like that's going to roll on over into this game, especially because the Rams are just really trying to overcome all the injuries that they have. No Cooper Kupp, no Puka Nacua. They really, you know, Kyren Williams is actually having a pretty awesome season so far. And then, of course, Stafford, there's nothing wrong with him. It's just the dude is on his ass, like, the whole freaking game. And it feels like at some point he's going to be injured and done for the rest of the season or miss a couple games here and there. And then defensively, they are not good at all. So I think that is not going to be a good recipe for them in this one. And I just kind of feel like the Green Bay Packers are going to go off in this one and get a big win, 41-14. And Simon also has the Packers winning this one 30-20. Then we have the New York Giants at the Seattle Seahawks. Right now, the Seahawks are a 6.5-point favorite. The Seahawks are coming off of a pretty close loss. You know, they started to really get it going in the fourth quarter, but the Giants are just a terrible team. They don't have pretty much anything going on, and then really the only good player they have, their rookie Malik Nabers, he's going to miss this game, so they are going to be even worse than usual. Seattle's playing at home. Seattle's coming off of a loss, so I really feel like Seattle's going to put together a really good win here and get the win 37-10. And then Simon also has the Seahawks winning big 34-17. Then the Sunday night football matchup, my Dallas Cowboys at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right now the Steelers are a 2.5-point favorite. Steelers are coming off of their first loss of the season. Cowboys coming off of a pretty shaky win over the Giants, but they have had had 10 days of rest, and I feel like that's going to help them in this one. Even though there's lots of questions with them, there's going to be no DeMarcus Lawrence. Looks like probably they haven't said for sure, but it's looking more and more like no Micah Parsons for this game either. So the defense already looked terrible with them, so it should look even worse without them. So don't know how I feel about that, but, you know, I do got to say Pittsburgh on the offensive side of the ball, pretty anemic as well. So I think that's going to kind of balance each other out. But the Pittsburgh Steelers defense is really fucking good, and our offensive line is pretty shaky. So that's going to be kind of interesting to see what happens there. We also don't have a ground attack, so we'll see. But, you know, I'm always leaning towards my Cowboys because I am a homer and I don't pick against my Cowboys. Plus, the Steelers aren't, like, the greatest team in the world. So I've got the Cowboys winning 27-17. And Simon also has the Cowboys winning 27-20. We also have bye weeks for the first time beginning this week. The Detroit Lions, Los Angeles Chargers, Philadelphia Eagles, and the Tennessee Titans will all be on a bye week this week. Now let's move on to the baseball playoffs. And shit, we had us a great game to end the wild card series last night. Pretty much every wild card matchup ended up being a clean sweep by one team. But we had one series go the full three games. And not only did it go the full three games, but it was an extremely entertaining series from game one to game two to game three with the cherry on top. So the Mets versus the Milwaukee Brewers, it was a battle between two teams that really wanted it, and it was crazy. So game three was last night, and the Mets got the win 4-2. It looked like the Brewers were going to get this win. And then Pete Alonso came right up in the ninth inning and hit the game-winning home run in the ninth inning to take it home for for the New York Mets. And the New York Mets have moved on. Now, this what's so shocking about this is the New York Mets don't usually do this. The New York Mets usually blow it, and they shockingly did not blow it. That was a huge, huge win for them, and good for Pete Alonso too, because it sounded more and more like this is going to be Pete Alonso's last year in a New York Mets uniform. So he at least did something extremely memorable, if that is the case. But they are now moving on to the division series. So let's talk about the matchups that we have beginning on Saturday. That is when all the division series matchups begin, and then they kind of start alternating. as the weekend and week rolls on. So let's begin with the ALDS matchups. Beginning with the Detroit Tigers versus the Cleveland Guardians. These are two division rivals, but the Guardians have pretty much dominated the Tigers for the most part this year. They've played them very well. But the Tigers are a much different team over the last about month of baseball. They are really dominating. They are not scared, and they are playing excellent baseball right now. Whereas the Cleveland Guardians, they are playing very questionable baseball right now. Their starting pitching staff just gets by. And offensively, they have their moments. Of course, they've got Jose Ramirez, and then you've got Kwan as well. But then beyond those two, it's very shaky. And with the Guardians, I really haven't trusted them for the last couple of months. So for me, I'm actually going with the hot team in this one, and that is the Detroit Tigers. I feel like just Detroit's young, they're hungry, they're ready to go. AJ Hinch is the perfect manager for them at this time. And I have the Detroit Tigers winning this series in four games. Then the second ALDS matchup is between the Kansas City Royals and the New York Yankees. And this is going to be a good one. I'm excited to finally get to see what Aaron Judge has in the postseason. I mean, yes, he's been here a couple of times before, but for the most part, the Yankees have been not really that good, if you will. And he just really has yet to have his shining moment. So I feel like this is finally a time for him to get going with that. Also, we've got Soto here who is a great player in the playoffs. If you don't remember what happened when he played with the Washington Nationals as a rookie, oh my God, there is one home run he hit. I can't remember what it was. It might have been the NLCS. I'm pretty sure it was the NLCS. Possible it was the NLDS, but he crushed a home run that is probably still flying through the air with the greatest of ease. But so Soto, he is a beast when it comes to the playoffs. So I'm expecting him to step it up and do what he always does. But the rest of the Yankee staff, their starting pitching is finally starting to look decent, but they have yet to really be consistent this year. But their big question is the bullpen. The Kansas City Royals, they've had their moments, and they were looking pretty good, but these last 2 weeks have been meh for them. But Bobby Witt Jr., he really stepped it up in the wild card series. He was the big hitter for them against the Orioles and really made waves and made his mark in the last series. So the Yankees really got to watch out for him and this Kansas City Royals team because they are very hungry. They have an excellent starting pitching staff. And if they're able to put it together and the Yankees go cold, let's say their batting order just goes cold and they're unable to get going, I expect the Kansas City Royals to win that type of a matchup. But with that being said, I think the Yankees are ready to take that step and ready to really, really get it moving in this one. And like I said, Soto, I feel like just adds a complete edge to this one because he is really solid in the playoffs. And I have the Yankees winning this series in four games. Then in the NLDS, we have the San Diego Padres versus the Los Angeles Dodgers. This one I'm expecting to be a solid matchup just because the Padres look like the best team right now. Just their pitching is not only dominating, but they're confident. And they're just getting the hits when they need to. They're just doing all the right things at the right time, and they don't look scared. The Dodgers, they have a lot of issues with their starting pitching. And in this matchup, this is their division rival, and I think the Padres are just so ready to take out the Dodgers. And I think that's what's going to happen in this one. I think it's going to be a close matchup. I think it's going to be a battle for every run that gets on the board. But I think the Padres have the better starting pitching. They have the better bullpen. And they're able to keep up with the bats that the Los Angeles Dodgers have. So I am going with the Padres in the upset in this series in five games. Then the last series we have in the NLDS is the New York Mets versus the Philadelphia Phillies. And this is also a division battle, so I'm really expecting this one to be a close matchup in each and every game. But to me, even though I feel like the Padres are playing like the best team in the league, to me, the Philadelphia Phillies overall, they are the best team in the league. And I think it's going to take a lot for any of these remaining teams to really get it going against the Phillies or really actually edge them out. They might be able to push them to the brink, but when it's all said and done, I think the Phillies are the better overall team. They have excellent starting pitching. They can score. They could score so many runs, it's insane. Now, the Mets, they're flying high right now, but they're still the Mets, and you can't really trust them. So I think in the end, I'm going with the Philadelphia Phillies in five games. All right, y'all, enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.